Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to a Friday edition of American Desis. I'm Arjun.
And I'm Akash.
How is everyone doing today? You can't respond,
so that was a very rhetorical question.
The definition of a rhetorical. Let me say it this way. I hope everyone's having a beautiful day. I hope you're having a beautiful weekend as you listen to this. Well, we started our thing where we're releasing one Indian American episode. Again, that's the old version of our podcast. Once a month to kind of revisit what it was, the things that were talked about, see how they hold up now 8 to 10 months later. And also give you guys, our new audience and our new community, a chance to actually respond, because we didn't have that capability back then. Our first one that we dropped was Omi Vaidya.
Also the first Indian American episode we dropped.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Omi was gracious enough to sit with us for an hour back then. And, you know, it was funny. A lot of the things that we talked about held up for me. I thought that, you know, it was one of those things that, but there were a couple things that really stuck out to us that we want to dive into right away. One was he talked about the way that he used comedy to kind of neutralize the racism and isolation that he felt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is something I used to do also. So I don't want to like judge it, but it was like he made fun of himself before others could make fun of himself. But I don't think he had the same revelation of being like, oh, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not going to enable you to make fun of me by making fun of myself. You know what I mean? I think that's really all that does. Is not, doesn't excuse racism or whatever, but it kind of like, it's like, all right, well, if you're going to make fun of yourself, why can't I make fun of you?
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it gives permission, you know, it gives permission to people to just kind of keep going with it rather than, you know, as a child, like I think as kids, is all we want to do is fit in. Like I think that we're always looking for reflections of ourselves, right? That's what's, I think, our initial way of validating ourselves. I mean, okay, this is what I think, right? I'm not an expert, but this has been my experience and what I've like learned is that when we're kids. So if you're the lone member of a community in a school environment, I totally understand the desire to just fit in, right? And so you don't think about, well, I need these, let me try to elevate the people around me. That's a rare kind of thought that's going through a kid's mind. But just looking at it as adults now, I mean, do you think there are ways that we still do that in our lives now? Or is that something that like you think you actively avoid doing?
That particular thing I actively avoid. Mine is more confrontational now, is if you make fun of India, fine. I'm not going to fight you, but I am going to beat you at making fun of where we're from. I'm going to make fun of whatever you are, and I'm going to win.
But, like, in what context?
Like, if let's say, a black friend. This is a lot of my friendships with black people, is they would make jokes about, you know, I have a joke on stage about this, but they would make jokes about, like, gas stations or whatever, and we own gas stations, and then I would just come back over the top with a joke about their stereotypes and whatever. And that's fine. I'm not going to get offended by your joke, but I'm also not going to make fun of myself and show no real self-respect or self-worth and then enable you to further make fun of me. I'm letting you know, like, all right, cool. If this is the game you want to play, fine. But, you know, we're going to win. Do you know what I mean?
But do you ever think about maybe there's a space to, like, say, hey, man, is there anything – you don't get offended by things, right?
Here's what I feel about getting offended. I think I said this on here. If you get offended, you're probably insecure about whatever you're getting offended by. Probably.
Let me ask you a question.
You're attacking insecurity.
But here's the thing. You talk about insecurity in a way where you're like, you need to solve it. I feel like sometimes when you talk about insecurity, it's like that's an issue that you need to solve, right?
Sure, maybe. But what I'm saying here is deal with it yourself before you make me deal with how I talk to the rest of the world. It's but much easier for you to just not be insecure about this thing than for the rest of the world to cater to your insecurity.
But hold on a second. I'm just literally posing this. This is just, this wasn't an agenda.
Talk to me like that again, and we're going to have problems.
I don't know what that means. Well, I don't know what you're referring to.
I was kidding. Go ahead.
Oh, gotcha. No, but let's say you say something for me. This is the way I like to approach insecurity. So I'm wondering, I just want to have a conversation with you. Let's say you say something that like triggers my insecurities and like it bothers me. And right. then I'm sensitive to it and I'm aware of that. Right. If I were to say something, okay, I'll tell you a personal example, right? So when I was, there was a period back in like 2010 or 2011, I can't remember, where I got really heavy, right? I just kind of was dealing with a breakup and I just kind of was emotionally eating and I wasn't like being the healthiest adult possible. But, and I got heavy and I got home and, you know, I went home to Tampa and I hadn't been back in a while. And I remember I went to like this like high school alumni thing. And one of my drama teacher, who I'm still very close with, I mean, she looked at me and she was like, "Whoa, Arjun, you're getting a little fat right now." And I was like, "Oh my God.
Great. What a hero."
Like, oh no.
Goddamn hero.
But she was right. Right. And so I was later. And then I remember like, I didn't say anything then. I was just like, oh shit. And then I was kind of starting to be aware of it, whatever. And my mom said something to me about it. And I remember it just like triggered these, and I was insecure about my weight at that moment. But here was the question. I was like, I approached it. I was like, listen, I'm feeling really like, I'm feeling a little self-conscious about that. Would you mind not talking about it in that way? And my mom was like, of course, my mom. So of course she was like super, you know, on board with that. But that's the way I like to approach it. That seems like something that you wouldn't hear well.
What, if you told me as a friend, hey, I'm feeling really insecure about this, whatever, whatever.
Not as a friend. What if someone stranger, if you were making fun of somebody, right? Let's say you like joking with somebody and they were sensitive about the thing that you said. And you were like, hey, listen.
If I legitimately, well, here's my definition of lines. Like if I made a joke about if some tragedy just happened to you and I made a joke about it, that would be insensitive. I don't think I would do it. I wouldn't necessarily put it past me either. I cross a line. Eventually, I'm going to apologize. That's a line I think I crossed. If you gained weight and I state the fact that you gained weight and that makes you insecure, you could also just lose the weight because I guarantee you, you've noticed that you've gained weight. So for sure. Me to bring attention to it for this one split second of your life, I won't be like, man, shut up, pussy. I think I'm past that, or that might be my initial reaction jokingly, but like, I'd be like, all right, sure, he feels that way, but do I want to be friends with someone who's this?
So, that's what I'm wondering, because I feel like it's important, like when we keep talking about compassion, like we talk about compassion for ignorance and stuff like that, but I wonder if there needs to be a space to be talked about compassion for like what other people's lines are, right? Because you have your own lines that you've created about what is a tragedy, what is this, what is that, and I guess I'm wondering, like, I feel like we should also respect the lines that other people have, you know? And you may disagree with it. And you may disagree with it.
I feel maybe just because my job is to speak and have opinions and make them funny. And that requires a line being way further. And everyone in society right now is telling me their line is really close to anything. And I'm just like, well, I'm just over that maybe. But to me, it's like, all right, well, fine. You can have your lines and I can have mine and they can be way further than yours. And we could probably meet in the middle. And the way we meet in the middle is me constantly crossing a line and you constantly correcting me. And then we find that middle ground.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a balance to be struck always. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, my answer is always that there's balance, that the balance is always inherent in whatever answer we're trying to find.
And we find that balance by telling you you're fat a lot. I mean, like, that's how we find the balance. We strike the balance by saying, hey, you're morbidly obese. Oh, that hurt my feelings. Okay, you're pretty fat.
But I think in this age of like kids and bullying, right? And bullying being something that kids are dealing with. And listen, I'm not saying that, you know, we should create a culture where everyone wins all the time because that's not life. And I agree that that's a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, like I lost a lot as a kid and I didn't like, and it was hard, but I also learned something from it. And so it wasn't a bad thing to lose, right?
I value the losses way more than I value the wins.
I mean, my big quote in my life my big quote is actually, I take it is how I approach art, my career and artistically when I do things is a Beckett quote, fail, fail again, fail better. Because of what you just said, it's the things that we learn in making mistakes that are ultimately the most important. But I will say this, I do think that, you know, bullying is an issue that we need to address. And I'm wondering if we could start teaching our kids to like say, instead of like having to come back, right? Let's say, you know, come back with a joke, be able to just say, hey, listen, that really bothers me when you say that. And have the kids like,
I
listen.
I get it. No, I get what you're saying. But then at what point, what is fun? Do you know what I mean? Hey, I get that your joke was
question.
A joke.
Let me ask
but,
a question. Okay, let's go back because we talked about it. Sorry, I know I cut you off. So hold that thought. But I want to, because when that kid who I called Carrot Top because he called me poop face, right? When I called him Carrot Top, it probably triggered some. It probably, no, but hear me out for a second before you make your jokes. It probably triggered some insecurity for him also, right? He was the only red-haired kid in our school. So he probably felt really different as well. And so maybe I triggered an insecurity for him so that he like came back at with me with something. And if like either one of us could have just said, hey, you know, that really bothers me when you call me that, maybe we would have stopped. Maybe it just, and maybe that wouldn't have been something that like hurt as a kid, you know? Maybe that's asking a lot for like second graders
though.
Yeah,
but then there's that huge gray area of at what point are we just not saying anything negative about each other, and then you're really eliminating most of comedy.
But that's why there's the question. I mean, but that's why I'm saying there's a space, right? You're talking about like it's your job to do something, but that's great, but you're not your job every minute of every day.
No, I might not be my job every minute of every day. I'm definitely not on stage comedian all the time, but right. I love laughing. It's my favorite thing.
Sure.
And
for
let me draw a point back a little bit. How many things in comedy are positive? Like how many times do you watch a show with a fictional character where good things are happening and that's what's funny? 99% of it is horrible things are happening to this person and we are laughing at them. Not to say, well, here my point is generally that like that's what's funny. Human nature.
But the only
is to
reason
laugh
we're
at
laughing at those things isn't my understanding is the only reason that we're laughing at those things is because they're survived. Right?
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
Yeah,
if they were like if the same person if it was like a montage of the story of like someone I can't think of a proper example.
But here's the thing, when someone calls you a poop face, you don't die. You just think about how hilarious it is and you decide you want to accept it or not. You know what I mean? It's the most brilliant thing I've ever heard in my life. And you can reject that or you can accept it. If you reject it, fine. You know, you're wrong, but whatever. That's your choice. Now, at these shows, it's definitely causing emotional trauma when the guy can't get the girl that he likes. Big Bang Theory, 6 years of this, so many shows, 10 years in Frasier of the brother liking the housekeeper and never getting her. That is emotional trauma. This guy goes to bed every night dreaming of a girl that's out of his reach, and we are laughing at it. That I know it's different with real people, but the idea is just that that's what's funny.
Right, it's the Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner thing.
Yeah.
It's cartoons.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying we can say whatever we want to people, but I'm saying that's the relationship I established with my friends, and we vibe because we both had that relationship.
But I'm not talking about friendships, though. That's the thing. I mean, listen, you and I, and for everyone that's listened to us, we clown each other all the time, right? You and I have had situations where there are lines, and then like I've had to say, like, listen, man, or I've done something, and you know what I mean? We've had that conversation. So I'm just wondering, though, it seems like, should we not do that even more for strangers?
I've never had that conversation on jokes. And yeah, sure, I don't make fun of strangers as much as I don't really make fun of strangers unless they're at a comedy show. Like, I might say one or two things, but I'm not walking up to a stranger and saying, hey, you're a Carrot Top. And then he says, you're a poop face back. And then that's us being strangers. We're not goddamn savages. We're not Neanderthals here.
Do you think the stuff that Omi was talking about, I mean, now that we've had Unchika and we've had that conversation, do you think that stuff is still happening or no?
I think it's a completely different childhood. And that's actually a great point. We should have brought that up in the pre-show discussion we always have. That's a phenomenal point. You can hear how different their upbringings are. And I don't think it's just a product of Joshua Tree versus Cerritos. I think it's a product of 1980s versus 2010s.
So then what is all this bullying? What is
bullying? Bullying still happens. I'm not, see, I don't think bullying doesn't happen. I think,
right, what is it about though? What are we, if it's like, for us, bullying was very much about like the ways that you're different. So is it just about sexuality? Is it just about the
clothes you're wearing? Probably sexuality bullying. There's probably pockets of, and it seems like a lot of this bullying gets super extreme and like physical trauma is caused. And like, I think our bullying generally, I didn't really see that. Now, I went to like a suburb school, kids had money. So like, yeah, maybe that was different, but like, I saw a lot of getting made fun of, a lot of teasing, and maybe the bullying they're talking about maybe is more extreme, because I hear about that now. Maybe there's just more media coverage, but like, you'll hear about these kids getting the shit kicked out of them, and that's a problem. But the teasing that I think they're still trying to weed out and to a large degree have, they just focus on any case way more than we. Like, if you went to your teacher and was like, hey, I called him a carrot top and he called me a poop face, she'd be like, guys, stop it. And that's it. It wouldn't be a huge deal. Now I think any of those instances are a huge deal.
Yeah.
They focus on it way more.
I also think the big thing now has become cyberbullying. Actually, I just thought of that while you were talking. I mean, it's now it's like you can harass someone constantly now. In a way that, like, when I went home, that kid wasn't calling me and calling me on the phone. You know what I mean? Like, I went home from school and I was, like, not in school anymore. Like, I didn't have access to those people unless I either talked to them on the phone or saw them in person. I obviously wasn't seeing that kid because we weren't friends. But, like, you know, so there wasn't a way that, like, I'd go on AIM and then I was, like, constantly getting called poop face.
That's
on
really
AIM.
The only bullying I have a serious problem with. That's not physical bullying, of course, outside of that. But, like, verbal bullying, the cyberbullying is the one that really bothers me. Because you're not in my person.
Ooh,
to get punched
interesting.
In the face.
That's interesting. You lose respect because it's hidden. It's cowardly.
It's cowardly.
I think it's cowardly.
All bullying is cowardly to a degree, but that's super cowardly. Like, if you could beat me up, not now. You can't now.
Yeah. Right, that's a good point. Like, it doesn't,
And it's the most prevalent form of bullying. Like, think about how much a celebrity gets cyberbullied. Put up a YouTube video and watch the cyberbullying happen.
It's horrifying.
The more people feel entitled to say savage things to you.
It's horrifying. I mean, you experience this a lot more than I do.
I've been told 3 times in the past 2 or 3 weeks that the person said, he makes me ashamed to be Indian. And that's okay because I'm on TV. But that's actually a really crazy thing to say to a person. He makes me ashamed to be from a country with 1 billion people. This one dude,
they're referring to you when they say that.
Yeah, 1/1 billionth of a nation's population, not even a race. The race is God knows how many. 1/1 billionth of that percentage makes me ashamed of the whole thing. And that's just okay to say behind a computer screen and because this guy's whatever.
Well, that's the thing I've always thought about the internet. It's like, I wonder if any of these people would actually say it to somebody's face. No. Maybe 1/10% of the people that actually say that would actually be. But if that dude, whoever wrote that tweet, well, I'm assuming it was on Twitter.
2 on Twitter, 1 on YouTube.
I'm assuming that person, if they saw you in person, wouldn't shake your hand and wouldn't even. I mean, not if you knew they said that on Twitter, but if they were thinking it, wouldn't say it to you. They wouldn't say it.
Maybe all the repression of everything in reality, let's just go to cyber reality and then just let loose.
But that's, you know what that is? That's what you're talking about. That's people deflecting stuff they're dealing with and acting out on a computer.
Well, I'm not even talking about like how it affected me personally. I just end up like, that's one of the few things that you can say that I'm going to destroy you. Like, I'm going to come back at you and I'm going to say some things. But I think it's just the repression of this stuff. Like, hey, this hurt my feelings. And then you having to acknowledge that even if you're friends, to the point that you're like, all right, well, I guess I just can't ever talk about this thing again. I think you just bottle all that up and let it all out online to a bunch of people you'll never see or behind a computer screen where you can not have to deal with the trauma or whatever that this person feels. You just unleash it online, usually anonymously.
Well, I guess I'm just coming back to this idea of compassion in comedy. Because here's the thing is, I don't think, like, you're easily one of the, people may not know this, but you're easily one of the most compassionate people I know.
Stop
easily
telling people this, first of
I'm
all.
Sorry.
Second of all, maybe I am, but I also understand there's not a ton of room in comedy when you're searching for laughs for compassion. This is a pretty ruthless thing, laughing at people. Like I'm saying, it's easy on a sitcom because they're fictional characters, but you are laughing at horrible things happening to people. Think about a movie, you know what I mean? Like, Road Trip or whatever. I don't know what movies
are popular
now.
I guess I've never seen that as... I guess I've never seen it the same way as laughing at someone if they, like, fall.
Yeah, but and this is what my point is. In movies, yeah, we can. It's not reality, so I'm not saying we should stop laughing at it. But it's the same idea that what's this Family Vacation reboot they're doing? There's literally a scene where these guys think they're mud bathing, and then it's sewage. That is traumatic and disgusting and awful. And if a person went through that in real life, we are not allowed to laugh at that.
But we wouldn't laugh at that. But you hold on a second. You wouldn't laugh at that though.
I would absolutely laugh in your face, face.
No, because if you were near that, you would also be experiencing the same thing because you would be smelling the sewage. It would be somewhat gross to you as well. I don't think that you would laugh in the same way, man.
I would laugh my face off, first of all. Second of all, let's not make it about this specific example. The idea is that the negative things that happen to us are the funny ones. Those are the ones that you can laugh at. No one wants to laugh at. There's nothing funny about, I just got a raise making $150,000 a year. I mean, there's nothing funny there. I got fired because I got a friend who got fired because he gave his friend a golf club, $350 golf club for 1 cent at a sporting goods store. He got fired because the kid wrote a check and the check bounced. That's hysterical. That is hysterical. Kid lost his job, but it's hysterical.
I guess. Yeah. I lost my point in like the whole, because I was just, I lost my point. But yeah, I mean, I actually don't, I got to be honest, I don't know where to go from here.
I mean, somehow it started with the way Omi dealt with his bullies.
I'm just curious to think of like what we learn from that, maybe, you know, if there is anything to learn from that.
Yeah,
but there was another thing that Omi talked about that you found.
Yeah, it hit me. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but he said a sentence. I wish I remembered exactly what it was. It was a few days ago I listened, but he said something like the difference between Bollywood and Hollywood. He talked about the relationships, and then he just said a quick sentence. He goes, yeah, I mean, that's what India is, really, relationships. And to us, I think South Asians, first generation here, when you go home, that's what it is. It's the relationships that matters to you. I mean, sightseeing is cool. I appreciate sightseeing, but I'm not going back to India for sightseeing. I'm going back because these relationships, not just because they're family, but somehow it seems stronger and, I don't know, better than the relationships in America. They're like, there's more love in it somehow.
It's,
at least India we grew up with.
It's, I interpreted it slightly. I agree that was one layer to it. And I think that for a lot of people, that is what's their initial connection. And I will say that I've met a lot of people who don't have the best, and I actually know some family members who grew up in India, right? And they, because of their family situation, they have rejected India because of that. So I think that you're right, that a lot of times that the way that we think of the nation is based on the relationships with the people we have within the nation, for sure.
Right.
But the other thing but there's another level that he talked about, it was that India is relationship, the way that we relate to people, period, right? It's the way that when I go to a store, like I can strike up a conversation for like 20 minutes with the guy, no problem, because that's the life. Like people want to, like, it feels like it's easier to connect with the average person there, which is strange because it's not the safest environment for a lot of people, like different subsets of communities. But it's interesting that that's like a part of, like, they really do have sitting rooms. A lot of apartments have sitting rooms, like where you just come together and sit.
Right.
Like that's a thing. And even if you only come and sit somewhere for like 20, 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But it's still like, it's a part of the conversation. It's when he was saying that, like, I don't know if it was Hrithik Roshan or someone who would just like lay down in the aisle between a bus to like, that was his area. That was his dressing room, right? Or that everyone would sit together and have chai after scenes because it was about community, right? They weren't family necessarily, but they were like, hey, we're working together. Let's share bread together. Let's get to know each other. Let's be connected to each other, right? And I feel like that that is something that I identify as Indian, and more specifically, not Western, to be totally honest. I think that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Eastern cultures and even South American cultures that feel similarly with that idea. But it seems that something like in the West that's, it's always funny. That's actually one thing that I love about Friday Night Lights. Okay. And I'm bringing up a Texas show for you. He would coach, and I know this was a TV thing, so it probably doesn't happen that often, but he would like, he would drive to someone's house to have a conversation.
Right.
Like, he wouldn't just call them. He would like drive there, have a conversation. You know, it, I don't know. I don't have a grander point, but I think that that was the interpretation I took from that moment that you're referring to.
Let me tell you something. This podcast doesn't work if you don't talk as much as you do, because I tend to just not really talk as much. But that was 2 minutes of talking, and then at the end you were like, I don't know what my point was.
No, I knew what my point was. Hold on a second. For the record, I knew what my point was. My point was that the India, the relationships that you're talking about are not just specific relationships. It's about the idea that, like, we are all related.
Oh my God, this is still going. This is your point? Is that just, many sentences?
Hold on a second. But it is also a very Hindu idea as well. If you want to, if you want to go there, I know like you love religion. I don't know why I just mocked you for that. Why did I just mock you for that? That was a weird argument tactic. I'm just gonna mock you for liking this thing called religion. Weirdo.
Oh, what, man.
Let's move to community. I have to move us to community.
Do you see how I took that so well, though? That's the thing, I value religion. And then you just said it super condescendingly for I don't really know what reason.
I also called myself out immediately.
Well, I laughed immediately, though. That was a crazy, what the hell are you doing?
Called myself out immediately. There was an email that I want to apologize to Apoorv, because you sent us that email back in July. And we are just now, I think we just missed it, and I apologize. We are now, we're going to respond to it. Starts off with some very grateful for the podcast, which we always appreciate when you guys say that.
Yeah, say that on iTunes, though. You know what I mean? Like, let's stop saying it to us in email. I mean, keep saying it to us in email, but just copy-paste that in iTunes in a review form.
And then it said, I've listened to essentially 12 episodes throughout the course of this week. Work gave me menial tasks, so I thought, why not smash through all of your podcasts? Anyway, rambling aside, I had a few questions that I would love to hear your opinions on. First of all, the caste system. I've always wondered what other people thought of it and whether anyone shared my views on it. Even though I was born into the Brahmin caste, I've always felt that it was almost completely irrelevant in this day and age. I mean, it is all right in the sense of preserving culture, but as a social construct, it's somewhat stupid. In my opinion slash reasoning, I believe that someone from a top caste who sits around doing jack-all compared to someone from the lowest caste who invented the cure from cancer, couldn't think of a more appropriate example, is less useful to society. I found in some areas of India, which I won't name, the whole I'm a top caste man and don't need to do shit is quite prevalent. Whenever I see that, I think to myself, what is the point? You ain't doing shit and are absolutely useless, whereas the lower castes, quote unquote, are actually doing work and making an honest living and are more useful to the economy. Rant over, wanted to hear your thoughts.
Hey, you can I say one thing real quick? A message to my Amma. Amma, I don't know if you noticed, he cussed twice and he feels like we bond better because I cuss so much. Okay, go ahead. Get back into it.
I was reading something.
No, cussed. Not you, man. The kid who emailed us felt comfortable cussing because we cuss. That's how we connect to the youths. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying. That you're talking to me. So you touched on this a lot last week, and we got to have a really fun and interesting and fascinating conversation, which, again, community, we'd love to, I'm sure that sparked some different thoughts from people, so we'd love to hear from that.
Man, I'd be shutting conversations down.
Well, we like to start conversations here. That's kind of the point of this, so people still be involved in the conversation and say what you want to say.
Tell us how much you agree with me at AmericanDesiesPodcast@gmail.com.
But I was quite quiet during that time. I felt I agree with you, Apoorv. I don't think that it's relevant. I don't think it should be relevant anymore. I think that we need to move past it. I don't actually agree that I don't agree necessarily with Akash that we need to preserve the culture for it. Personally, I don't agree with that. I think it should be gone. I think that it's still remnants are still existing in India from a standpoint of the way that people decide that they want to be together. And I do think that there are places where you're right, where the whole I'm the top caste man, and that gives me some sort of prevalence or puts me on a pedestal. I've actually seen it in the States with first generation Indian Americans. I had that person, someone tell me that he was very condescending because to other Indians because he was Brahmin. And I was like, well, this is strange and upsetting to me.
Here's I think the from thing, standpoint, though, Doug, we are in.
I just don't think that I think that we're moving past the idea that these kind of things can create value. Like just because you were born into something, you have an inherent value that's better than someone else. I think that what we all are born into the world, like as babies in the same, we all have the same value. And then what you do, I think you're right. What you do with your life creates what value you have to society. That's my point.
Yeah, okay, listen, your point is literally something we've all been told since the day we were born in America, and here's the beauty of it. In a capitalist society, you are going to be judged by what you do, for the most part, especially as an Indian coming over here. Any South Asian who comes here, you're an immigrant, any immigrant. You have no pedestal to stand on, no laurels to rest on. You are determined by what you do. And this dude who thinks he's above all the other South Asians or Hindus who aren't his caste, he's going to quickly find out he's not. Because capitalism will check you. Oh, you're above it? All right, then you're just not going to make as much money as the guy who isn't above it and works his way up.
I'm not just talking about judgment economics.
And I never said assign a value to it.
I know you did. I'm not arguing.
I'm just saying we were given a caste. And originally, the original thing wasn't a hierarchy. It wasn't you're a king and you're an untouchable. There was no untouchable term as far as I know. If I'm wrong, someone correct me. But as far as I know, it was just, hey, this is the division of labor. My caste was a warrior. There is nobility in it, but no less so than a laborer has nobility in his labor. The idea that there's a hierarchy, that I don't agree with. But yeah, you should know where you're from as much as you can. I think even if a white dude's grandfather was a slave master, great-grandfather, whatever, he should know that. He doesn't necessarily need to say that was a great thing that my grandfather, you know,
I'm not
killed
talking
people.
About,
but that's all I'm advocating for. I don't.
Sure.
That's
I'm not,
the tie to it.
Sure. And my whole, I'm not arguing with what you said before. I agree that you should know where you came from. I do. But I think that oftentimes in the idea of preserving culture, we like lift stuff up. And you addressed this, right? You addressed how you thought that is wrong at times. Preserving culture to you is just, you need to be aware of it. Right.
Anything that ties you to India more is great. It makes the anchor heavier.
Right. But I'm just saying that what I want to respond to you is that I don't mean just judge by society's value economically. I think teachers are undervalued in society and should be judged
but it's
higher
hard
even
to,
without.
That doesn't apply here in the way I mean it. Because I mean, a dude who thinks he's above other people is going to be poorer than those people. And he's going to know pretty quickly you're not above them. Because there's no nobility in being lazy. Yeah, teacher, there's nobility in it because you are teaching the youth. You are preparing us, preparing the future for the future. A guy who's just lazy has nothing like that to say. He's just lazy and above things. And then he can try to tell us he's above us, but we'd be like, dog, you don't have a good job. There's no nobility in what you do. You just think you're somebody, and you will quickly realize you're not.
Now, hold up, though. Just throwing this out there. We have a lot of South Asians that came here with and built up, because we came up with a lot of money, right? Built a lot of money, right? We're that generation above us. We have a lot of people that are quite entitled in our community, in the first generation American, South Asian American.
Right.
There is a lot, large portion of that.
Yeah. Is that entitlement based on their caste usually, or the fact that they grew up with a lot of money?
It's a good point. There you go. All right, fair enough.
Rich kids are entitled in America for sure. That happens.
Right.
But not always, but that does happen. But that's not a caste thing. That's a money thing. And that's the thing about capitalism is it's not based on your caste. It's based on your money. And India, for better and for worse, is getting very capitalistic. And that's one of the things that's going to quickly go away. This idea that you're above me because you're Brahmin. Cool. My house is twice the size of yours. Tell me that again.
Right. I think that Yeah, I think we are moving to where the caste system is going to become completely irrelevant in India. I mean, I think that that's the place that we're moving towards. I think there's work that still needs to be done for that.
Sure.
Cool. We've kind of reached our time for today. I actually have to get ready because I have to go film
that TV show that I'm doing. Go be famous.
Yeah. But thank you guys for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. We're going to drop a dope episode on Monday as we always do. So check it out.
Also keep five-star on our podcast. I looked yesterday. The people rating the podcast has slowed down. No one has written a review in months. I gave you guys the benefit of the doubt. I was like, listen, I can stop yelling at them. They get it. They know to review it. They know to rate it. No, you guys are stupid, and you need to be told every week to rate the podcast and review it. Give us 5 stars. You know we deserve it. Oh, also, I'm headlining at Caroline's in New York City September 2nd. I'm going to keep plugging this until the show happens. But September 2nd, you can get tickets. Caroline's website, I think it's carolinesonbroadway.com. But just Google Caroline's on Broadway and the website will pop up. September 2nd, we'd love to see you.
You did an Independence Day show. How'd that go?
It was all right. The audience, here's what happens sometimes. Laughing takes confidence. And that's a part of the reason, actually, now that I think about it, I lash out at these guys who are offended because it's such a, there's so much confidence required to laugh. Anything that shakes that confidence, people aren't going to be willing to laugh. And this audience, this happens sometimes, they were having fun, but there wasn't one or two big laughers to make everybody else okay with laughing. That's part of why laughter is contagious. If we're watching a comedy with 5 people, you don't want to be the only one laughing really loud. You get self-conscious about it. So you need one or two guys who just don't care. And this show just didn't have it. And I think the host could have done a better job of breaking them open up top. That's really a weird thing. Like, the host makes a huge difference. The show we did together, the host didn't do a good job. And if you remember, it was really tight. And then I ended up...
That was terrifying. That was horrible. That was a horrible night.
And a lot of it was on the host. The host didn't go up there and just break them open. You need to do that. It's so they can have confidence to laugh. But it was cool. People liked it.
You say confidence. Can I just throw a different word at you? People need permission to laugh.
Okay, sure.
I would throw that word in there.
Sure.
Well, beautiful. Yeah, everyone, if you're in the New York or the tri-state area, definitely hit Caroline's show. Akash is headlining. It's going to be a dope night. You should definitely get out there.
All South Asian comics, too.
Which is beautiful. Come support the family.
Yeah.
Aside from rating and reviewing, please just keep spreading the word. You know, we love everyone that comes to listen to it genuinely has a good time. So we just need to keep exposing as much as we can.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate your help with that. So, like we said a few minutes ago, we'll drop an episode on Monday. Definitely check it out. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
And we'll catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.